Good morning again. So here we are, week two of God Never Said That, and just looking at some really just some beliefs that we have in our culture that really aren't true. Beliefs based on what we believe God has said, and maybe we've been told all our lives that God has said, but He really never said it. And so if you were here 2 weeks ago, we started out with talking about how we always hear that God will never give us more than we can handle. And God never said that. If you read your Bible, which I hope you do, if you don't, pretty good thing to do. If you don't have one, please let me know. I'll make sure that you have one to read. Before you leave today, you'll have one. But if you look through the Bible and as you read it, you'll see people all along that had more than they could handle. It's not that we, you know, God will let more come to us than we can handle. It's so that we will trust Him to carry the part that we can't handle. And so that's where we spent week one at. And so today I want us to look at another really popular misbelief that of something that God never said. And we believe that that God said that He wants you to be happy. And that is just not the case. God never said that you should be happy. He never said that was one of those things that you should, above all else, I want you to be happy and me to be happy. He just never does it. God does want you to enjoy life. He does want you to live it abundantly and to the full. But the problem is we've got that all jacked up, messed up. And so the problem isn't with God, it's with us when it comes to this. But we've been told God wants us to be happy. We believe it. People use it all the time to get us to do things that we shouldn't do. But the truth is they never said it. Now, I know how we could come up with that. Because, see, people can use Scripture to believe that. In Psalm 97, verse 12, you read this. It says, may all who are godly be happy. Right? So if we consider ourselves godly, if we consider ourselves to be Christ followers, then, there it is. We should be happy, right? We should just be thrilled, and life should be so wonderful and so good because of that. You know, that song by Farrell, that was Bobby McFerrin. The happy song. So, never mind. I just chased that squirrel, and I think I was the only one there. But it's like, we get this idea that we're supposed to be happy, and we see it in Scripture, and we kind of pull things out, and we just assume that God, if He is God who we say He is, that He would just want us to be happy. That's why He created us. Let's dig a little deeper, all right? Let's get down into it, because we need to understand some of that. Because here's what our society, there is this theology of happiness that we find around us. And it's this theology of happiness, unfortunately, that is very prevalent in the church, that even causes problems within the church. It's one of the reasons I think that causes the weakness of the church in a lot of ways, because we've come to this place to believe that we pursue happiness more than we pursue God. We pursue happiness, then everything is good, and we get that. And so this theology of happiness is kind of based on a few things. And the first one is this, that whatever makes me happy must be right, right? If it makes me happy, it's got to be right. And whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong, right? So if it's happy, then it's for me. If it makes me unhappy, then I should leave that alone. If it makes me uncomfortable, if it doesn't tickle me, I should do away with it. And so we've gotten this idea that whatever makes me happy, it's good. Whatever makes me unhappy is bad. And we've developed this whole thing around that. And so whatever makes you happy must be right. Whatever makes you unhappy must be wrong. It feels good, right? That sounds like it should be the way it is. The theology of happiness, the second thing is this. We start believing this, that discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconveniences, and obstacles can't be God's will, right? I mean, God would never throw those things at us. He would never let those things come our way. That can't be part of it, because He wants me to be happy, right? Because that's what we've been told. And then there's this. Without knowing it, When I have a theology of happiness, without knowing it, I begin to worship the false gods of comfort and money and pleasure and things. Right? If it's all about me being happy, if that's the main pursuit is for me to be happy, then I'm going to find it however I can, and I'm going to pursue whatever I can that I think will make me happy. There's a lot of good people that have been ruined because they were pursuing those things rather than pursuing what they were really created to pursue. And so for many of us in the room, we probably have our own stories. I can tell you story after story after story of my pursuit of those things. And I can tell you then, too, the consequences of those pursuits and what it got me. If I'm all about me being happy and you're all about you being happy, then we begin to think about, well, whatever does that for me is good. Whatever's not doing it for me is not good. Well, whatever, you know, if there's bad things that come my way, surely that God has nothing to do with that because he wouldn't want me to be sad or upset. And then, you know what, if I'm to be happy, then let me just go after whatever it is that I think is going to make me happy. A lot of good marriages have ended over this theology of happiness. A lot of good friendships have ended over this theology of happiness. A lot of relationships with churches have ended over this theology of happiness. It's this thing that we've begun to develop, and it becomes part of who we are because we think this is what we'll really do because we think God said he wants us to be happy. And so the problem with it is God wants us to be happy, and suddenly we're faced with something that doesn't make us happy, then what's the deal? I mean, if he's God, how can he let something come into my life that doesn't make me happy? He must not exist if I'm this unhappy, if things have gone this bad, surely there is no God, surely he doesn't exist, and surely he doesn't care about me if he does. Last night, I spent the day yesterday with the youth at Carowinds. And I was running on like 3 hours sleep from the night before. And we got down there and you kind of have to wait and you kind of have to go through all this stuff. But we went to this concert and one of the bands that was there, this one of my favorites, is called Skillet. And Skillet is a kind of a hard rock kind of thing. You know, I know I probably did some things that most churches would fire me for last night. And so I know y'all are wanting to know, but I'm not telling you because y'all might want to fire me too. But anyway, because we stood up in our chairs and we banged our heads and we kind of, anyway, it was pretty cool. But anyway, but one of the things that they came down to was really talking about who God is. And they brought it down to this moment of all the things that we face in life and then it really, all that matters is the one who hung the stars. The one who keeps the planet spinning, that keeps the sun spinning, that does all, he's the one that's in charge. But we've got to this place where we say, well, surely he must not if my world isn't spinning like I want it to spin. If I'm not happy like I want to be happy. And so we find this moment where we face something tough and we look at it and we say, but God, I prayed for that not to happen. God, I prayed for it to go a different way. You know, I read my Bible. I went to church all the time. You know, I blessed my Chick-fil-A. You know, what else? How could you let this happen? Because I know that you want me to be happy. I know this is what you would want for me. How can I not have that house that you want me to have? Because I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, and you're supposed to do it for me. And so what happens is in our lives, because of this pursuit of happiness and this theology of happiness, this thing, belief that God just wants us to be happy, you know, we begin to look at things completely different. And we begin to make God some cosmic Coke machine, that where we believe that if we just put in our little religious trinkets in, that out will come whatever it is that we want to be. And listen, God is not like that. God is much greater. He is the creator of the universe. He's not there to wait at our beck and call. Listen, he created us to be there at his. He created us to be there to serve him, to be there with him, and to have a relationship with him. He didn't create us so that he would have more work to do. You know, sometimes pastors, we're really good at creating more work for ourselves. And so we come up with new things to do and new ways that we're supposed to do it. And we end up doing it ourselves. You know, I was just thinking about our You Are a Kids program and how we have a structure to it. This way that we want to do things, this way that we believe that our kids, and we say, oh, yeah, kids, man, they're the future, and they need to know about Jesus, and they need to know him, and they need to be a part of him, and they need to be in church, right? But then when our kids come to church, guess what? Well, what you don't know many times is that our coordinators have struggled all week to find somebody to teach them. They've struggled all week to find somebody who would even stand there and let them and check them in so they could go back there. And so what happens is we want to do all these things, but then we don't really want to do what it takes for that to happen. Because we want to come in and be fed. Now listen, I know I'm going to get onto somebody and somebody's going to get mad at me, and you know what? Sorry. But we want to come in and we want to be fed and we want to be happy because, God, we should come to church today because we go, God has something for us to say. He wants something for me to make me happier about my life. Meanwhile, other people are struggling to be able to be here and be focused because they're having to do three times the work. So what happens is we the theology of happiness creates this culture in which we get so focused in on ourselves that we forget about everyone else, that it takes all of us to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. It takes all of us to share the gospel. Pastors can't reach the world for Christ, y'all. It's all of us doing that together. And so this culture of happiness, is this pursuit of it, leads us into a place where the church is weakened. Our relationship with God is weakened. Can I just go all the way with it? Our marriages are weakened. Our relationships with our kids are weakened. Our friendships are weakened. Our jobs are weakened. Everything is weakened when we begin to just put our focus on something that we were never created to chase. So it's important that we get this down. A little raw today. Kids wore me out yesterday. Can I just tell you? I'm a little raw. I've been like this lately. Y'all hadn't noticed. And so I'm just, you know, I'm apologizing up front, but I'm not going to do it again. But it's we've got to come to this place where we begin to focus in on not what we want, but what God wants. When we focus on what he wants, listen, you'll realize that what you want changes. And it becomes much better. We kind of look at this thing and it kind of gets us. I believe God does delight in your happiness. He does. He absolutely does. He delights in my happiness. He delights when we're happy, just like any parent, right? When your kids are happy, aren't you happy? Like when my kids are good, things are good, man, I'm happy. You know, Allie, my 15-year-old who hates when I use her as an example in my messages, and that's why I do it. But when she makes really good grades, she gets a good grade she'll text us during the day. Can y'all imagine what it would have been like if us old folks had had phones back then? You know? Anyway, but now, you know, like at least my mom and dad got like a little time away from me. But anyway, that's another thing. Love you. Well, I love you, baby. Anyway, so she gets a good grade on the test and she texts me. Hey, I got 100 on the test. And so she texts me and Kelly both. And we're like, yay, you know, and we send it back. And so that's a good thing because she's happy, we're happy, right? We're real happy when she makes good grades. That's a good thing. So when that happens, that's a good thing. But listen, let me just tell you that if Allie was to get 100 on a test and text me, hey, I got 100 on a test, and then walk by the teacher and give her that afterwards, hey, I showed you, got you, and was rude and ugly to her teacher, guess what? I don't care about her happiness any longer. Now I care about the fact that we're getting ready to fix that. And she ain't going to be happy with that. I can promise that. Her happiness isn't my concern at that point. Raising her to be a respectable person. Now, she would never do that. Can I just make sure you know that? At least not that I would ever know it, I would hope. But anyway, I don't think she would. But anyway, but if it was to happen, And I don't care about her. The 100 is great, but I'm still going to tear her butt up, you know, for that attitude and the way she showed off in front of the teacher and disrespected that. I'm not going to let that happen, right? And so God's the same way. He wants us to be happy, but listen, he's got a greater purpose in mind for us. He wants us to grow and to be, we're made in his image, and he wants us to demonstrate that, and he wants us to grow into that. And so there are things that we need to understand about it, that he cares about your happiness, but it is not his main focus. And so we need to be aware of that and begin to look at it. Today, what I want to do is I want to dispel this myth. I just want to kind of get away from it and help us to understand it. There are two specific reasons that God doesn't want you happy. Let me make sure you understand this. There are two specific reasons that God doesn't want you happy, right? He doesn't want you happy when it causes you or me to do something wrong or unwise. He doesn't want us happy if we have to go the wrong way to get it. And can I just be honest? I got a list, right? I got my list of things that I did the wrong way trying to be happy, right? Can anybody? I'm the only one. Okay, well, so I'll be the target today or whatever. But I'll just preach this to myself. Y'all just listen, okay? So, but he doesn't want me happy if I got to go the wrong way or do something stupid to get it, right? Ramsey talks about stupid tax. It's the tax that it's the extra money you spend because you do something the wrong way and trying to make a buck or trying to get happy or whatever, trying to achieve something. Man, I've paid my stupid tax big time. But he doesn't want us to go the wrong way to achieve it. And what many people do in their life is they say, it's going to be fun and it's going to make me happy. But guess what? It only lasts for a little while. The fun goes away, and the Bible tells us that what seems right to a man, you know, we've seen things that just seem like that's just the way it ought to be. But the truth is that it really isn't what God wants for us. And we have to be aware. We have to be with eyes wide open in life, looking for what it is, because what happens, what seems wise to a man, many times ends in death, right? Maybe not physical death. It can. But it can certainly end in spiritual death. And so we have to be paying attention. The fundamental problem is that so many people believe that God wants them to be happy. But here's what the scripture says. It says in 1 Peter 1:15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. So just as he's holy, the one that called us, then we're to be holy in all that we do. But here's how we read that, though. We read that, but just as he who called you is happy, be happy in all that you do. Right? If you can just be happy in everything, it's all good. That's not what it says. It says to be that just as Christ is holy, we need to be holy. We need to focus on him and live life out the way that he wants us to be. God does want us to be happy if we take it to the extreme of our own desires rather than looking at what it is that he wants for us. I talk to a lot of couples. I run into people and I know we're married back in, you know, the last time I saw them and I talked to them and I'll ask about their spouse and they'll say, well, you know, we're not married anymore. Wow, really? I mean, it seemed like you were things were good and yeah. You know, she wasn't happy, and I wasn't happy, and we decided to end it. Really? So she wasn't happy. You weren't happy. So you just divorced. Right? Well, hold on a minute. Like, you stood in front of God and everybody, and you said, for rich or for poor, sickness and in health, for better or for worse. And you made a covenant between you and another person, you know, your spouse and God. You made that, like, not a contract that you can tear up. No, you made a covenant. You made an agreement that was to last forever. Yeah. And why did you end that covenant? Well, I told you she wasn't happy and I wasn't happy, and so we ended it. Now, I know, listen, I know we have a lot of divorced folk in here, and so please don't take it the wrong way, but listen, I know there's reasons why folks are divorced, but can I just tell you that you not being happy and them not being happy, not a really good reason. But I hear that so often, that we trivialize even marriage down to the fact that if we're not getting what we want, then we're going to end it. I want us to understand that this pursuit of happiness above the pursuit of God can take us places that God never wants us to go. That's a serious issue, and it's very tender and very touchy. And listen, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings with it. I just want you to understand that we've got to get beyond it, just what makes us happy and doesn't make us happy. Because I can tell you, there's a lot of people who are at other churches who say, you know what, I wasn't happy at Uari Community Church. There's some of you here that say, I wasn't happy at so-and-so church, right? And so can I just really be honest with you that please don't leave this church because you're not happy. And if you're here because you left another church just because you weren't happy, I would, and this, gosh, this is crazy. But you should go back. And you should figure out why you really left. Because if you just left because you weren't happy and you weren't getting your way, you left for the wrong reasons, and you've brought something here that maybe shouldn't be here. That ain't in my notes, and that scares the mess out of me. But it's the truth. And I ain't ever going to stand here and not tell you the truth. Okay? If you left your spouse because you weren't happy, maybe you should go back to your spouse. See, I want us to understand that I like being happy, but God just keeps teaching me that it's so much more than that. Because can I tell you some things that make me happy? Reese's peanut butter cups make me happy. But guess what? They melt. And I don't like them when they're melted. That doesn't make me happy. But guess what? I'm not going to stop eating Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay? Can I tell you something else that makes me happy? Pringles. I like Pringles. I like to stick them in my mouth and make a duck face with them. You ever done it? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay, thank you. Again, I'm not the only weirdo in the room. Thank you for making me feel comfortable. Right? So I like it. But guess what? If you drop the can, guess what happens? The Pringles crumble. I don't like the crumbles. I can't make duck lips with them. All right? So listen, guess what I'm not going to stop doing, though? I'm not going to stop eating Pringles. So listen, I know that that sounds like I'm making light of something, but I just want you to know how serious it is to me. That we get beyond this happiness thing, and we get to a place where we begin to not pursue happiness in all the ways that we aren't created to do it, but we begin to chase the one who is the source of happiness, the source of joy, the source of everything that we were made to have. I can't believe I just told people to go back to their church. Anyway, oh my gosh. Just create this stuff for myself, don't I? Well, maybe if you see somebody that wasn't had the left here because they weren't happy, if they tell you, hey, I wasn't happy, tell them, well, Ron said you should come back. Go back to whatever church you live. Anyway, maybe that'll give us some back. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, come see me first. I'll leave it at that. So we got to be able to see this thing for what it really is. Be holy. Be focused on who God wants you to be. Help them to be able to help us and help others around you to be able to see what it really is. We want to be happy. And I'm telling you, we got to begin to want to be holy. You say, well, that's not any fun, Ron. Yeah, it is. Man, I watched last night that concert. man, I watched, I don't know how many thousands were there. I don't know, 8 or 10,000 kids. And I'll tell you what, it was more fun watching the adults than it was the kids. I never seen so many gray hair bangers, whatever. They were, the ponytails were doing this on the guys and stuff. It's crazy. Anyway, but I'm telling you that it is fun, and you can have fun pursuing the things that God has for you. And you can have way more than just fun. You can have joy that speaks to who you are inside in the deepest part of you. We can quit chasing it on everything else. We can quit trying to, you know, go see a movie about 50 shades of a color, and we can just stay home and pay attention to what color our own sheets are, right? Man, I might get ugly here in a minute. This thing is just big, y'all. It's killing us. It's killing us trying to make ourselves happy with everything else. The second thing is this. Let me move on. Because God doesn't want you to be happy if it makes you do something that's wrong or if it's unwise. But he doesn't want you to be happy when it's only based on things of this world. And we kind of talked about that. If it's just based on what the world can provide, that's not what God's looking for. He doesn't want it to be based on that. He doesn't want it to be based on the fact that the commercial said that you should have a Dodge pickup truck. Right? I mean, I love their commercials. I love, you know, man, somebody asked me, we were talking yesterday, I think we were driving along, and said, what's your, because there was a Porsche 911 right beside us, right? And I said, man, that used to be my dream car. Right? And they said, what's your dream car now? I said, it's a big jacked up four-wheel drive truck. That's what I mean, really, you know, give me one of those or a Lamborghini, I'm probably taking the truck, right? Because I'd wreck the Lamborghini and it'd be a mess anyway. But, and then guess what? I wouldn't be happy anymore. Anyway, so we've gotten to this thing where TV's told us that we've got to have, you know, we've got to have everything there. We got to have the Ninja blender. We got to have the copper pots. You know, come on, who's got a Snuggie, right? You got one because you saw the commercial and it looked cool. No, Snuggies have never looked cool, but they are warm. I got one with Superman on it, of course. But anyway, it makes me look like him when I put it on. It's kind of cool. Anyway, I'll wear it for you one day. So, but advertising will tell us we got to have all that stuff to be happy, but the truth is it's not based on that. Y'all are like, what in the world did he have for breakfast this morning? I didn't, actually. That's the problem. I think it's my stomach's like, my blood sugar's dropping or something. I don't know. But it's just crazy, you know, that we look and see all these things that are going on. And here's the formula that culture has given us that's trying to tell us what it takes to be happy. And it's messing us up. The first thing that it tells us is that you got to have better possessions, right? You got to have better whatever. I get in trouble with that. I like good stuff. And so but the world tells me I got to have better possessions. It tells me I got to have peaceful circumstances. Come on, who's really got peaceful circumstances in here? Right? I mean, I can just look around the room and I can tell that I know a lot of your stories and what's going on right now. And that's not happy, right? Or certainly not peaceful. It says that we got to have thrilling experiences, right? Can I tell you about my thrilling experience yesterday? I can't believe I'm going to tell you this in public. I get on the coolest ride at Carowinds yesterday. We stood in line for, what, an hour and a half, right? We stood in line for an hour and a half to ride the coolest ride at Carowinds. I get up. I get in the seat. The girl shoves a thing down on me. It's not locked. She pushes a couple more times. It's not locked. Okay. Another girl comes along and says, can I slam it on you? Which, can I just tell you, that where that thing got slammed, I should have never said yes. I'll just tell you that, all right? To add insult to injury. So I was about to throw up before the ride even started, okay? But the truth is, they couldn't get it locked on me. Now, I'm just telling you, I saw people way bigger than me get on that ride. But for some reason, I had to get off. I couldn't ride the ride, y'all. So me and Miss Helen are going to be having some conversations about some keto diet. Right? But I had to get off. So my thrilling experience was I waited an hour and a half to be totally embarrassed in front of a whole bunch of people and to get that thing slammed on me where it wasn't very nice, okay? I'm just telling you. That was my thrilling. So would I be happy if it was based on thrilling experiences? No. Okay. Anyway, can't believe I told that in public, but I did it for more shame. I was shameful enough yesterday, but now I've shamed myself in public, and so really, man, it's all eggs and bacon, Mr. Helen. All right. And what avocados. All right. So then it tells me that if I have the right relationships, right? So we got to be, it's all based on my right relationships. If I have the right relationships around me, if I have that person, then that's good, right? Then it tells me that I've got to have the perfect appearance. I guess I already blew that, huh? So we have all of those things. Guess what that's supposed to equal according to our culture? Happiness, right? That's what it tells us. As long as I got better stuff and I got peaceful circumstances, I got easy circumstances around me, I got thrilling experiences, I got the right relationships, and I got the perfect appearance, man, I should be happy. Does anybody have like more than two of those? No. So if that's what it's based on, happiness, ain't none of us going to achieve it. But here's what the Bible says, right? This is what I love. I can go and I can find the Bible, what it says, and it'll tell me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. This is the scripture. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Does that say, well, don't love most things in the world? It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. You get that? That if we get focused in on what the world says is happiness, then we've totally taken God's love out of, not that he stops loving us, but we're just not able to experience it and reap the benefits of it because we're focused on something else to get what God is supposed to give us. It says his love is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. We got to be focused in on what those are the three things, right? What our eyes desire, what our flesh wants, and this thing that tells us that it's all about us. So that didn't come from God, that comes from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to live with him forever. And I mess those things up just like you do. But my desire is to be focused in on what God has for me. And that's where we have gotten so wrong, that God wants us to be happy. But can I just tell you what the truth is? That God doesn't really... It's not focused on your happiness, but God does want us to be blessed. He wants you and me blessed. He's got something far better than happiness. To be blessed by him is much deeper. The Greek word that's translated to the word blessed is the word makarios. And it's this deep, surrounding kind of blessing. It means more than happy. Don't you want to be more than happy? I mean, happiness comes and goes. It can change within a split second. One phone call. That one call from the doctor. Or that one call from your kid away at college. Or that one call from your boss. And it all changes. But when we focus in on being blessed by what God has, then listen, those things are going to come and go regardless. But it's then how we handle them and how we allow them to handle us that makes the difference. Jesus said we would have trouble. Listen, we want to focus on all the good things Jesus said. All the good stuff that makes us happy. I'll throw that one in there with it. Because he said that we're going to have trouble, but to fear not. Because he's overcome the world, and so that means he's overcome whatever it is that we face. No matter how difficult, no matter how hurtful, no matter how just gut-wrenching it is, that He's overcome it and we can trust Him and believe in Him. Think about the trials that some of you have been through. Things that I can't even imagine how I could make it through it myself. But you've done it, and you've kept your head up high no matter how much it hurt and how tough it was. You kept your head up and you kept focusing on not on what the circumstance was, but on who was in charge of it all. And you made it through it because of that. And some of you are in the middle of it, and you'll make it through it by focusing in on who He is, not by focusing on what's happened. What's happened will always shift us. I love the words of that song. It says, fear's a liar, that he'll rob your happiness. Listen, if it can be robbed by Satan, it's not of God. Because God's more powerful. He wants more than that. And if it was all about that, then He would not let Satan take that from you, I can tell you. It's deeper. And he's not worried about you being so much happy as that He wants you blessed. And to experience Him. David said this, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now we take that, and sometimes that's one of those scriptures that we use to say, well, God wants me happy, because if I just delight in Him, He'll give me everything I want. Listen, you got to understand, He's going to give you everything that you want, but as you delight yourself in Him, what you want is going to change. You just need to be ready for that. And it's going to be way better than whatever you thought you wanted. So we got to be able to focus in and look at who He is and trust Him and believe in Him. This word delight, it's such a neat word. The thing about it, just delighting in God, spending time with Him. When was the last time that you just opened your Bible and you didn't say, you know what, I got to read my Bible today. But you said, you know what, I'm going to delight in my Bible. I'm going to delight in what God says to me. And maybe you're reading in like one of them crazy books that don't make sense half the time. But listen, if you go at it with a delight in your heart and a focused delight in God in it, He'll bring something to you and teach you. That's why it's there. Today, I want to help us to get beyond it. Because here, think about this. Think about how hard we work to be happy. And all the things that we do, all the things that we have that are there that we got thinking they were the next step to happiness. I heard the story that you take about taking a fish. I mean, we go to the ocean, right? We go to the ocean, go to the beach, and we want to have a good time. And what's at the beach? What's there in the water? Fish are in the water, right? But think about this. What if you took a fish, and you took him out of the ocean and put him on the sand? Would he be happy? Well, why wouldn't he be? He's at the beach, right? That's where he lives, at the beach. I mean, get him a little recliner, a Corona, and some sunglasses, he'd be happy, right? Isn't that how that's supposed to work? That's what the commercial says. Like summer, you know, that whole thing, whatever. Y'all watch that commercial too, hadn't you? So anyway, but here's the thing. If you do that, he's still not going to be happy, is he? Why? Because he's not where he's supposed to be. Even though he's at the beach, he's not in the environment that he's supposed to be. You and I are in this world. We're here. But listen, it's not about all the things that we think can make us happy. It's about who will make us happy. And we need to spend our time with him and in him and growing in that. So today, let me just tell you that God never said that he wanted you to be happy. Can I just break your heart today? But he did say that he wanted to love you and that he cared about you so much that he would go to the greatest lengths to have a relationship with you. That he realized how broken you and I were on our own because of sin in our lives, that we were so broken that he loved us enough that he sent his only son to this earth to die on a cross, a cruel death, to pay the price for that sin so that you and I could be made right with him and come into a relationship with him. To be taken off that, put into an old borrowed tomb, and on the third day, God reached down and raised him up again so that not only are we forgiven today, but we can know that our eternity is set because just as Christ was resurrected, that one day he'll come back and his old bodies and our soul will come back together again too. I said that kind of country, didn't I? I sound like an old country preacher. But that's the way it is. And so today I want you to understand that there is a reason why we go through what it is that we go through. And it's to always point us to Him. And all of the joy and all the blessing and all the things that we're looking for come out of what Christ did on the cross for you and me and beginning a relationship with Him and then thriving in that relationship. So today I want to encourage you, because here's what happens. We look at the scripture in Psalm 97:12. It says this, "May all who are godly be happy." And we think, let's just be happy. But guess what? You got to read the rest of the scripture. The rest of the verse says this, "To be happy in the Lord and to praise His holy name." See, happiness comes from that relationship, not from the stuff. Today I want you to be focused in on who He is, not what you got. Maybe today you just got to say, you know what? I've been looking in the wrong place. I've been looking for something, somebody, something I could work hard for to have to give me what I was created to have. Unless you're never going to find it in there. But today I can tell you that if you look for it in Him, you will find it. And if you don't know how to do that, you come see me and we'll make sure that you know. God, today I thank You so much for Your word, God. Without it, I don't know what I would do. God, I've pursued those things so much in my own life. Tried to find happiness in all kinds of ways. God, they all led me back to the same place. And it was always the place that, you know what, there's only really one answer. And that was You, God. And so today I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that if they've never met You, today would be the day that they would begin that relationship with You. To understand that we're all disconnected from You because of sin, but because of what Christ did, we can come and we can call out. Confess our sins and acknowledge that we can't do it on our own and accept what He's done for us and be healed into that relationship, God. And so today, for many of us, we've made that decision, but we've just still been living, looking for answers somewhere else. So today, maybe we just need to confess that and begin to just focus again on our relationship with You, God. Maybe for those in the room that have never accepted it, this is the moment. They just acknowledge they've sinned, like everybody else, that they've been separated from You, and today they just want to make that relationship right. Confess their sin before You, ask for Your forgiveness, and let You come and be Lord of their life. God, I don't know what You need to do in everyone's life here today, but God, I pray You would just keep drawing me closer to You. God, today for hurt feelings that may be in the room, maybe from something I said, but God, maybe just from experiences that people have had in here, God, I pray that healing would come in this moment. God, for someone in here today that needs just physical healing, God, I pray that You would just touch them right now and do that. God, for someone who needs emotional healing, I pray that You would put Your hand on them today and touch them. God, I pray for someone here today that just needs to have a relationship healed. Maybe with another person, maybe with another church, maybe with another pastor. My God, I pray today that You would move in their heart and that relationship would be touched. God, today I pray that whatever it is, that Your will be done. I pray that in Jesus' name.